You want to find out what are the building blocks that put them in a position to do that. And then you can copy those building blocks, even if you don't like the company. Just because you don't like someone doesn't mean they're not doing something right. Find out what they're doing right and copy that. All right, so you don't have to copy everything else, the stuff that you don't like, but copy the stuff that is working, because these are principles and they work for anyone regardless of why they do it or where they take it. The principles still work.
StayAllDay.com.
Pretty exceptional.
Work on your game.
I like the approach.
Work on your fucking game.
Everybody has, relates to what Dre's saying in a different way.
Work on your game.
I like the way he thinks.
Work on your fucking game.
I like the frameworks that he's put together.
Work on your game.
And I would highly recommend it to anybody that's trying to work on their game.
Work on your fucking game.
I think it's a good approach. It's a different approach, too.
Hey, you, work on your game.
Gave me something really good.
What can you get? DreAllDay.com.
And his philosophy makes a lot of sense.
Not only work on your game, perfect your craft.
Work on your game.
He knows how to communicate in such a fabulous way.
I can't say it enough.
Work on your game. You're now tuned into the show where you learn the discipline to show up day after day to do the work, the confidence to put yourself out there boldly and authentically, and the mental toughness to continue showing up, doing the work, putting yourself out there even when the success you've expected to achieve has yet to be achieved. And on top of all this, you get a huge dose of personal initiative, that is the go-getter energy that moves any one of us, including yourself, to go and make things happen instead of waiting for things to happen. And then we put all this together into a series of frameworks, approaches, insights, strategies, and techniques all underneath the umbrella of one unifying philosophy that is called Work on Your Game. My name is Dre Baldwin, also known as Dre All Day, and welcome to the show. And today's topic is, we are picking up on our series of big business principles that small businesses need to adopt and implement. But before we get into that, I'll remind you of two things. First of all, daily motivation text and Monday motivation to go out every day and every week, respectively. Guaranteed to have you focused, sharp, and on point to start your day and your week. All you got to do is text me at my number, 305-384-6894. And when that message goes out, when they'll start going out again, then you'll be getting those straight to your phone. Again, all you got to do is text the same way you receive any other text, same way you send a text, same thing. So text me, that number's down below in the description. Secondly, Work on Your Game University. You would like to have me as your direct coach. That is the only place to have me as your direct coach. It is the place to have me as your coach. And it is the next step that you need to take. Don't just go listen to more podcasts, watching more YouTube videos and hoping that you can piece together what needs to happen. We have a 4-part framework based around mindset, strategy, systems, and accountability. In that order, to help you get implemented, all these things that we're talking about here in this series, the things you hear me talking about on the show, and the things that you know you need to work on, or things that you might not even know you need to do, but once we get to know what you're doing, I will tell you that you need to do so you can get them put in place in your business. Go to workonyourgameuniversity.com. You can see what our program is about and schedule a time to converse with us so we can talk about where you're at, what you want to do, what might be in your way, and how we can help you get there. All that, again, workonyourgameuniversity.com. Picking up where we left off in our series of big business principles that small businesses need to apply and implement. And I'm breaking down the principles so that you understand how this can apply to any business, even if the business is just you, one person by yourself, or you got 40 employees, or you haven't even started your business yet and you want to get something going. All these principles apply to you. So make sure you listen to and take heed of every point that's being shared here in this series. So we're picking up on point number 10. Topic once again here today is big business principles that small businesses need to implement. Number 10, watching the market. The market is the audience of people who are, who could, or who would pay money for your products and services. Big businesses are always watching the market because the market determines what they sell, how they sell it, whether or not they sell it, and how much money they can make from it. Again, let me tell you who the market is again. Those are the people. The market's the people. Who are the people who could, would, might buy from you? So you got to be watching the market so you know, who are the people? Who am I selling to? What do they want? Who is my customer? You got to know who your customers are. You got to know who your audience is. When you know who your audience is, then you can make much cleaner and clearer and hopefully better, measured by results, decisions on how you put your things out there to the market. What you put out to the market and how you put it out to the market, all is determined by your homework being done on the market, knowing who exactly you're talking to and where they're at right now, because the market might have been somewhere 3 months ago, but they're in a different place now. But you got to be paying attention. This is all part of your job. It's your job to be watching the market. And remember that your mandate in business is to increase the value of the business for the shareholders of the business. In other words, to make shareholders money. That's the purpose of a business. The shareholders should be making money. And the shareholder is simply someone who has ownership in the business. So if you are the sole owner of your business, you have a sole proprietorship, and it's just you, then your mandate is to make yourself money in business. How do you make money? Well, you got to sell something. When you're an entrepreneur, your job is to sell things. So do you see how just so far in this series that there are a lot of things going on at the same time for a big business? A big business is a lot of stuff happening at once. Like as I'm recording right now, you might hear my son. He's making himself heard in the background here, even with the door closed. But there's a lot of things going on here too. But the whole point being, big businesses, they have a lot of things going on at once that they need to be paying attention to. And by extension, you need to be doing the same thing. You got to be paying attention to several things in your business. And it's not so many that you can't do it, especially if you're running a business by yourself. You don't have a choice but to do it. So it's not about whether you can or you can't. It's a matter of how you will do it because you need to. It's knowing what the most important aspects are and making sure that you're paying attention to them in a timely fashion. That's your job. And that's all a strategic and systematic breakdown of what you need to know and then making sure that you do know it. See, the market has ever-changing tastes and ever-changing desires. The market has and wants different things at different times. So if you were in the events business, for example, you know, people want to come to events, they want to gather, and they want to have fun at those events. But when COVID happened, and it doesn't have anything to do with the beliefs of the people in the business, but the way things were publicly is, let's just say in the United States, was that venues were not allowed to do their thing. They weren't allowed to have people come together and gather. So a pivot had to be made, and that pivot had to be made quickly. So in the speaking business, for example, a lot of events immediately went to doing virtual events. So I know a lot of people in the speaking business. I know a lot of people in the consulting business, a lot of authors, thought leaders, etc. They immediately started putting together, they either had or they started building studios in their businesses, in their quarters, wherever they are, at their homes or in their offices, whatever, to where through their virtual studio, they can still do their speaking gigs, they can still do their consulting, they can still do their live events, but they would just do everything virtual instead of doing it in person because that money still needed to come in. You get what I'm saying? That money still needed to happen. It's just a matter of how are we going to do it, not if we're going to do it. Do you understand the difference in asking those two different questions? So the marketing has ever-changing tastes and desires because now I'm recording this in 2024. We're pretty much back to doing live in-person venue events as we were before. So a lot of speakers I know who were doing a lot of stuff virtually, now they're back to being on planes and traveling and being all over the place doing their events. All right, this is the game. So if you know what your audience wants because you're paying attention, then you can give it to them and they will continue to pay you for it. Despite all the YouTube, basketball, even this show, I started as a writer and I am still a prolific writer. As a matter of fact, I send out emails damn near every day. I call this the Daily Game email. I want you to get this every day to your inbox completely for free. So simply go to workonmygame.com. That's workonmygame.com. And get my emails directly to your inbox every day free of charge. Again, that's workonmygame.com. You know what is the biggest thing that separates the high-level performers from everyone else out there? It is not talent. It is not hard work. It is not resources. It is not knowledge. It is not skill. It is the fact that they have a process and a strategy for how to show up and give their best effort, even on the days when they don't feel like being at work. Has any of you ever had one of those days? Has any of you having one of those days right now? That day is called the third day. We put a label on it and we describe exactly what it is in my new book called The Third Day, The Decision That Separates the Pros from the Amateurs. In this book, I will not only describe to you what the third day is, but I will help you create a formula for yourself for you to show up and give your best effort, even on those days when you don't even feel like going to work. In that book, you're going to become a professional and no longer be an amateur. I'll give you a free copy of it. As a matter of fact, all you have to do is cover the shipping. Just go to thirddaybook.com. Again, thirddaybook.com. Point number 11. Topic once again here today is we are continuing our series, the big business principles that small businesses need to implement. Number 11, effective communication. The communication I'm referring to here means with your audience. I don't mean just talking, but I do mean talking. Talking is part of the communication. This means not only giving your audience the message of what you are selling and offering, but it also means listening to their messages of what they want. Because remember, communication is not just talking, it's also listening. So communication, going both ways. Big businesses have entire departments whose only job is communication. A company like, let's say, Disney, for example, they have an entire department just dedicated to communication. Their whole job is listening to what the market is saying and telling the market what they need to say. I mean, somebody works 9 to 5, 5 days a week, maybe more, doing just that. Listening to what the market is saying and then telling the market what Disney has to say. You got to know what's going on in the minds of your customers, and you communicate that to the marketing and sales departments in your company to make the necessary adjustments. So if I'm in the, let's say I'm in the communications department for, let's use Disney since I brought them up. I'm in the communications department for Disney, and I see that people are making some complaints because they've been to Disney in the last, let's say 90 days, and they complained about the lines being a little bit too long, or there was some trash on the ground, or they didn't like something about the check-in process of getting into Disney. If I'm in the communication department, I'm noticing that, I'm listening, and I'm going to run over to, well, at least next time we have a conversation with the marketing and sales departments, I'm going to let them know, hey, this is what I'm starting to see. This is what I'm hearing. I'm hearing this a lot amongst people. What can we do about this? And the marketing and sales department is going to say, okay, then we need to, first of all, let's make sure we go fix these things that they actually see them as problems as well. Then we're going to go to departments that fix those things. And then in our marketing and in our selling, we're going to let the customers know, hey, we heard you talk about that. We've fixed that. So make sure you come again so you can see that we have fixed this issue. So that issue that you were talking about, the lines used to be taking 45 minutes to get in. Now it only takes 20 minutes to get in. It used to take 20 minutes to get in. Now it only takes 10. And we're going to communicate that. The marketing department is going to communicate that based on the information that they got from the communication department. And if you didn't catch it, let me just point it out to you. Now the marketing department can use this fixing of a problem as an excuse for a reason to reach out to the customers. See, they need a reason to reach out to the customers and let them know, hey, here's what we're doing. Here's what we have going on. Here's what we fixed. And guess what? Not only did they reach out, they offered the customers an opportunity to give them money. And there's going to be a link right there in that email. Click this link right here and schedule your next Disney adventure. What is that? That's all these pieces working together. And you can do this as well. Again, you don't have to have a communication and marketing and sales department, because again, your business might be just you and your brother. This might be you and your wife and husband, or this might be you and two staff members. Understand, you can do all these things yourself. The communication is you listening. Note what messages are coming into your world through whatever channels people have are reaching you. Then fix the problems if there happen to be any problems. And then the next email you send out, or the next blast, or the next text messages, or whatever it is that you do to reach out to your audience, let them know what you're doing, why you did it, how you did it, what it's going to mean for them, and then give them an opportunity to give you money. You could do this. This could take you an hour. All right, this is not some 30-day process. All right, you could do all that in an hour if you're paying attention to what's happening in your business. Knowing what's going on in the minds of the customers and communicating that to the, again, whoever's in charge of marketing, whoever's in charge of sales, that will all be you if it's just you, and making the necessary adjustments. Because when you know what's going on in your space, you can adjust and you can pivot quickly. The most deft businesses, the ones that are most successful, are able to pivot and make moves quickly. They don't need to wait to get the word from one person or another person, or get an okay from somebody, or they got to get approval from these people and those people. And this takes weeks and days and months before they can move. That takes too long to that pivot takes so long that by the time they pivot, they already missed out on where the market's at. The market has shifted again by the time they finally make the move. This is where big bureaucratic organizations like the government, this is why they're so late to actually make change that is necessary, because there's too many layers of bureaucracy involved and something actually getting done. And you want to make sure your business does not become this. And your business can become this even if it's only 5 people working there. Your business can be this with one person working there, because you are taking too long thinking about, trying to decide, evaluating, considering, weighing what you're going to do, what you could do, what you might do. And by the time you finally do something, the opportunity is gone. Money has been taken off the table because you are too slow to make a decision. So don't think that when I say companies are big, bureaucratic, and slow, that means some company with 1 million people working there. It can be one person in an organization that is too slow simply because the one person is taking too long to make a decision and to move on it. That could be you by yourself. You could be the problem. So think of a company like Apple or Amazon. These companies are able to adjust and make pivots quickly and even get to the point to where they are dictating and controlling the conversation, not responding and reacting to the conversation that is happening in the marketplace. You notice that companies like Amazon and Apple, they don't respond to what the marketplace is saying. They create what the marketplace says. The marketplace is talking about what Amazon just did or what Apple just did. Apple does not look at what the marketplace says and says, oh, we got to adjust to that. No, that's not what Apple does. Apple does something and the market talks about them. See, they become the dictators. They become the leaders in the marketplace. This is the space that you want to occupy. And again, you don't have to be as big as these folks, and you don't have to be worldwide like them. You can be this person dictating the conversation of the marketplace in your specific niche based on the things that you do. And you have to be following all the principles that I'm sharing here in this series to achieve and obtain and maintain this leadership position to where everyone is looking to you to see what you do, and then they can decide what they're going to do. So think of these companies, Amazon, Apple. These are two companies that are pretty far ahead when it comes to this. Google is another one as well. And again, even if you don't agree with all the practices of these businesses, we cannot dismiss the fact that they are all leaders in their markets where they are creating the market. They are creating the market conversation. You want to find out what are the building blocks that put them in a position to do that. And then you can copy those building blocks, even if you don't like the company. Just because you don't like someone doesn't mean they're not doing something right. Find out what they're doing right and copy that. All right, you don't have to copy everything else, the stuff that you don't like, but copy the stuff that is working, because these are principles and they work for anyone regardless of why they do it or where they take it. The principles still work. Have you ever wondered why so many people have big goals and big dreams for themselves and they work hard every single day, yet they never reach their goals? You ever wondered about that? I have, and I found out the reason why this happens is because most people never ask themselves a key third question, which is, who do I need to be while I'm doing what I'm doing so that I can have what I want to have? You see, if you never fix your mindset and the way that you're thinking about a situation and the way you think about yourself and the way you see yourself in the mirror, then it doesn't matter what you do and it doesn't matter what you want. You will never get there because you simply have an inaccurate formula. I wrote the book called The Mirror of Motivation, which addresses this first question, who do I need to be? And when you answer that question, then when you do what you need to do, it will produce the outcomes of you having what you want to have. If that sounds like it might be the missing link in your process, and let me let you know, it is the missing link in your process. Go to mirrorofmotivation.com. All you do is cover the shipping, and I'm going to give you a free copy of that book physically mailed to your doorstep. Again, mirrorofmotivation.com. So you can be who you need to be, then do what you need to do, and then you're going to have what you want to have in your life. mirrorofmotivation.com. Point number 12. Today's topic, once again, we are talking about big business principles that small businesses need to implement. You need to use these principles because these are principles. They are not theories. They are not ideas. These are things that work no matter what size your business. Number 12, continuous brand messaging. Big businesses are continually telling you about their brand. They are staying in front of you and reminding you that their brand exists. Company like Apple, I mentioned this before and I will mention it again. They have control over this billboard space right across the street from my building. And this is a big billboard. It's about 100 feet wide, and maybe about 50 feet tall, this billboard space. And this is in a prime location in the middle of Miami. And I would guess that the cost per month for this billboard space has to be upwards of $25,000, I would guess, per month to rent out this billboard space. And Apple has controlled this space for years. All they do is about every 6 weeks, they just change the image that they have on a billboard. And the only product I've seen them advertise on this billboard is the iPhone. I think once it was the AirPods and might have been the watch once or twice. But for the most part, they just advertise the iPhone, which is the product that drives most of Apple's sales, in case you didn't know. Most of Apple's money comes from selling the iPhone. But the point being, the reason that Apple is continuously paying what I estimate to be about $25,000 or more per month in order to keep showing you the iPhone, even though you already have it, is because they want to keep reminding you of their brand. They want to keep reminding you of what they're about. And every time they have an ad for the iPhone, they're just showing some different little feature of the iPhone. Sometimes it's focusing on the camera. Sometimes it's showing you how the phone comes in different colors. Sometimes it's showing you how the iPhone connects so seamlessly to the AirPods. And sometimes it's showing you a picture of a photograph that was taken with the iPhone, because they're letting you know how the iPhone is basically a professional camera right there in your pocket, which it is. It literally is a professional level camera right there in your pocket. You don't have to buy a camera, just learn how to use the phone. And the whole point is they're continually brand messaging you about their product. That's the point. And they're willing to spend money on it to keep doing this, because the money that they make from selling that phone more than outweighs the cost of paying for that billboard space. This is just math. Your brand, ladies and gentlemen, is the position that you hold in the mind of the marketplace, in the mind of your customers, and in the mind of the general audience. Again, the marketplace doesn't have to be people who are giving you money. The marketplace, people who could possibly one day give you money. Your brand is what they think of you. And if people don't think of you at all, then you have no brand. Whatever people think of you, if they think of you, that is your brand. You need to control that. This is why Apple buys that billboard space, because they're telling you what they want you to think. They're putting it right there in front of you on a 100-foot billboard so you can see it. They're telling you exactly what to think about them. Remember that your brand conversation starts with what you say about yourself. Apple understands this. This is why they do that. It starts with what you say about yourself, because people can't form an opinion about you without something that they got from seeing, looking at, hearing about, or reading about you. They got it from you. So if people are going to see, hear, read, and watch things about you, it might as well be of your making. Don't let somebody else go and say something about you without you saying something first. You say something about you. So now all people can go off of is what they heard, and what they heard came right out of your mouth. So you control the brand conversation. You see how that works? You can do this all day, every day. And where? Social media. It's free. You can talk about yourself all day, every day, and tell people exactly what to think about you and exactly what to believe about you and exactly who you are and what you're about, because you can post on social media 50 times a day telling them exactly what they should know. This is controlling your brand messaging. Now, I'm not telling you need to post on social media 50 times a day, but I'm also not telling you not to. And you can go buy that 100-foot billboard, see if you outbid Apple for it. If you want to, you can try. It's going to cost you more than whatever they're paying. The whole point being, what are you doing to control the message about your brand? That's the question you should ask yourself. That's a rhetorical question from me to you. It's not rhetorical from you to you. You have to answer. Big businesses are continually reinforcing their brand message to make sure that you remember who they are, what they're about, and what they bring to the table. There's some other billboards on like the back sides of, it's like a row of high-rise buildings near where I live. And on the back side of these buildings, facing towards the west, there are a couple of billboard spaces on two buildings next to each other. And it seems like they sell these billboards. I don't know. They sell them as a package deal. It seems like every time one of them changes, actually, every time I see these two billboards, the two buildings next to each other, it's the same company on both billboards. So I'm guessing they just decided they're going to sell these as a package deal because that's what it looks like. So on these two billboards right now, I was just driving in from the west to the east the other day, and I saw these two billboards. They were for Chanel, the fragrance company Chanel. And Chanel is another company. It was a great example. I don't know about them nearly as much as I know about these other four that I've continually mentioned, like Apple, Google, Amazon, and Nike, Starbucks as well. I don't know nearly as much about Chanel. I have made some purchases from them in the past, not from me. But the point is, they are continually reinforcing what their brand is about. And what Chanel's brand, the image that they're giving you is usually a woman, model-esque looking woman. Yeah, model-esque looking woman, and then it just says Chanel. It doesn't often even tell you what the product is. It just says Chanel. That's all it says. And they're giving you an image. That's what they're doing. They're giving an image, and they're putting it in your head who they are and what they're about. They're continually reminding you who they are and what they're about. You need to be doing the same thing when it comes to your business and your brand. Never leave it to chance and hope that people remember you, remember what you're about, or remember who you are. Most of the time, they won't, because we are being inundated with messages from everything and everyone from everywhere all day. So don't expect anyone to just remember you just because. Why are they going to remember you? Only people who remember you might be your mom and your dad. Everybody else is thinking about themselves. Keep that in mind. If you want to write, we want to take one note of what I've talked about here when it comes to branding. The only people who think about you on a consistent basis might be your mom and your dad, and that is only if you're under the age of 18 and living in their home. Other than that, actually, let's say under the age of 21, maybe if you're in college, maybe up through college years, your mom and dad might think about you every day. Yeah, up till about age, we'll say up 21, 22-ish. After that, now if you're like 25 and up, now your parents ain't even thinking about you every day. All right, think about themselves. They're glad you're out of there so they can focus on themselves again. They focus on you for 25 years. All right, now they focus on them again. So nobody's thinking about you every day. All right, that's the point. All right, nobody is thinking about you every day unless you remind them to think about you. You notice how whenever we talk about marketing, we talk about advertising, talk about brand messaging. You notice how I bring up Apple all the time? You know why I bring up Apple all the time? Because they keep bringing themselves up to me. I have no choice but to notice them because I keep seeing them. Every time I walk on the balcony in my building, I see that big ass Apple billboard. All right. I cannot not notice them. You get it? And I got all their products right here in front of me. I got the computer. I got the phone. I got another phone. I got the AirPods in my pocket. I got the tablet in front of me. I got some other Apple stuff. I don't even know what it is. Apple everywhere. They have inundated themselves into what I'm doing. That's not even the right language, but they basically put themselves into my world in such a way that I can't forget them. That's the point. You want to do the same thing with your audience in your way, and you want to do it on purpose. Apple didn't do this by accident. It didn't accidentally happen that everybody knows who Apple is. It was intentional and it was conscious. You need to do the same thing. So what is your brand message? How are you reinforcing it with your audience? And if you don't do it, nobody will, which means you will be susceptible to being forgotten. All right, being forgotten in the business world means you're pretty much dead. The good thing is, in business, you can come back to life. Now, in human life, dead is over. But in business, you can bring yourself back to life. But I would rather stay alive the entire time. It's much easier to work from that position. With that said, let's recap today's class, which is, again, next 3 points in the series of big business principles that small businesses need to implement. Number 10, watching the market. These are the people who could, would, or might, or should one day pay for your products and services. Pay attention to what these people want and what they need, because that's telling you what to do next and how to talk to them. Number 11, effective communication. Communication is not just what you say to your audience, it's also listening to what they say. You pay attention to what your audience wants, that'll tell you exactly what to do next. This is how I created my first products. My audience was telling me exactly what they wanted. Dre, can you somehow, some way put together some type of coherent program so that all these videos you have here on YouTube, I can follow them in an organized way so I can work on my game the same way you work on your game? I said, sure, I can. And I started charging them $5 a piece for those programs. And that's how I got into business, because I was listening to the market. Remember, folks, listening is part of communication. All right, put these two concepts together. Number 12, continuous brand messaging. Your brand is the position that you occupy in the mind of your audience. What is my brand? My brand is called Work On Your Game. Does everybody know that my brand is called Work On Your Game? If you listen to the show, you know my brand is called Work On Your Game, because I say it at the beginning of every episode. I say it at the end of every episode. It is on almost everything that I do. I'm saying the phrase Work On Your Game. Why? Because that is my brand message. I want you to remember it. I want you to associate me with it and it with me. That is part of brand messaging. I'm continually hitting you in the head with that idea so that you do not forget it. You think about the brands that you spend money with, the brands that you have affinity for. They give you an image in your mind of what they are, even if they don't have they don't have to have a catchphrase. Chanel, I don't think Chanel has a catchphrase, but they have an image. When I hear Chanel, I got a picture of what I'm looking at. I got a picture in my mind of what that means when I hear the phrase Chanel, because they and their brand messaging are telling me what they want me to see. They're showing it to me. I told you, I've seen two billboards and it was Chanel, and there's a certain image. And even when I described it to you, you have a pretty good idea of what it is. And they're not even advertising the product. This is advertising themselves. All that said, folks, text me, see in my text community. My number is down below in the description, and workonyourgameuniversity.com. Link is down below. That is the place where you can get with me and have me as your direct coach to work on your mindset, your strategy, your systems, and the accountability to implement all of this stuff into your business, into your life right now, with speed, with urgency. For those of you who are ambitious about reaching your goals, you want to do it ASAP. That's workonyourgameuniversity.com. Work on your game. Dre, all day. While you are here, don't forget to text me so you can be part of my texting community, where you can ask me questions. You can share challenges with me. You are messaging me directly. You can get a direct response from me, because I do read and reply to my messages. My number again, 305-384-6894. One more time, 305-384-6894. Make sure you text me, because you never know when I'm going to send a message that could be the one thing you need to hear, the one thing you need to do, the one insight you need to get that could change your life. Make sure you message me. 305-384-6894. Do you know what the number one key is for you to advance and get to a higher level from where you are right now? It is not for you to work harder, wake up earlier, or go to sleep later. No, it is for you to get the right insight. In other words, to ask yourself the right questions. These questions are usually questions that you don't have the answer to, but dealing with those questions opens the door for you getting to that next level that you want to reach. How do you get help with this? By getting coaching, by getting around other people who can see things that you don't see, who have perceptions and insights that you don't have. This is why coaching is as valuable as it is, and this is why higher level performers always invest in coaching. The best way you can do that from here is to go to workonyourgameuniversity.com. That is the only place I offer coaching, the only place I work with anyone directly. If you just go to workonyourgameuniversity.com, you can see all your options for getting involved with us and engaging and having someone coaching you so that you can take yourself to that next level, again, through insight, not just through effort. Again, it's workonyourgameuniversity.com.